Hey guys, welcome to the MC Anime Podcast.
We cover anime, geek culture, Japanese aesthetics, and Asian studies. We are a multi-fandom podcast, and you can expect to hear topics in your favorite hobby or fandom activity potentially. You can find MC Anime on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. Also, please check out mcanimepodcast.com, our website. Furthermore, stay tuned in for another episode.
It is an honor to be back as always, MC.
Where can they find you and what you do and all that good stuff?
You can find me on Twitter, Tumblr, and Discord, where I do my hybrid OC commissions and fanfictions.
Okay. And that's at Shapeshift16 on Twitter and Tumblr. You're an OC creator, you got like Master World player and enthusiast for shows and all.
Yes, if you were to check my Twitter or Tumblr as of late, the fixations are very strong with one show.
Yeah, and then the fixation in this topic is interesting too. Where we get into that.
One of my personal favorites.
So today's topic is going to be Asian studies, dragons, and mythology. So we're going to explore the Asian dragon and how different counterparts throughout Asia and depictions are often associated with this subject and worthy of the Asian dragon mythos. So what kind of sparked your interest in this before we, jump into the show?
Well, I've not specifically Asian dragons, but all kinds of dragons. I actually had been fairly fascinated with them. I learned how to draw them first. I remember the first dragon I attempted. It was Toothless.
So you like dragons in the media, and then over time you research the lore and different things, aspects of a dragon that might be an inspiration to draw them.
Yes.
Where did the inspiration of drawing a dragon actually come from? Like, from your OC, I'm guessing, to add depth to your drawings?
I think it's because of how the dragon mythology is shown, both for the European dragon and the Asian dragon, because they have different depictions of how dragons are shown.
Okay. Yeah, just like, we had a dragon-inspired mascot, well, Renokan, so it was a dragon mate. So, dragons are kind of like that type of mythological creature that a lot of people like because of the different designs and what each one represents and the different shapes it comes into.
Yes.
And that in Asian society, dragon is actually very powerful and majestic. So if you really think about it, the dragon is a symbol for strength, but also very majestic and very legendary creature in design.
Yes.
So it's very high active spec that Asian society specifically take on dragons more than opposed to the Western civilization.
According to my research, they say Asian dragons were more respected than in the European depictions. I mean, these dragons could do a lot of stuff. They breathe clouds, they could change the seasons.
Some of them are associated with the environment.
I think it was only the Chinese dragons were only associated with rivers. Sometimes even rain.
Yeah, river deities, lakes, stuff like that. Cave dwelling in the forest, protectors were all kind of what dragons represented. Some were evil, some were man turned into a dragon, and other stories were it was always a dragon. So it just depends.
Depends on the story and who's telling it.
Yeah, I mean, main source of dragons in the main depiction is like the Chinese dragon. That's the traditional Asian dragon that people think of. Is the, for example, the Chinese flag of the Qing dynasty is an azure dragon, which is the most famous Chinese dragon, which is a king dragon. It's like a serpent with wing, like glowing in with short, stubby limbs.
that'd be like a T-Rex. I wonder if that was the inspiration for that dragon's legs. No. Most dragon legends were born from dinosaur fossils, mistaking them for a different creature.
Well, yeah, most of Asian studies has depicted dinosaur bones as proof of dragons. So in the earlier times, they would mistake great fossils from a great beast of legend. And dragons would just happen to be one of them.
Just one of them.
Yes. Well, Chinese dragons also have, like, animal-like forms. They can be toads, fish, but the most significant was snake-like with four legs.
I mean, I found out this while I was researching one of the OCs I created. Apparently, there's a dragon-horse hybrid in Chinese mythology.
Yeah, there's a lot of different depictions of what the dragon could look like. But the main traditional form is snake-like with four legs.
The snake design.
Like the slithering in the sky that flies.
The slithering snake dragon with the big head of hair that conceals the horns. The massive scales.
Oh, yeah.
Truly majestic.
Well, there's a couple origins. Snakes is one. Chinese alligators hold a significance. The thunder and nature worship. So thunder was a big inspiration because they wanted to put a face to the sound. So they hear the mighty force in nature itself. So a lot of times they make a deity as the environment of that particular area, environment, or season. So the deities in Asian folklore, especially China, is they would take deities and whatever unexplained phenomenon that they could think is causing it, they would refer it as a deity, and over time it became in folklore as that deity. Dragons are no exception as deities because they're all these sought after as and guardians.
Must protect.
There's plenty to protect, actually. Because the Chinese dragon was a power of strength and the emperor of Japan, of China. It was the
Han the most well-known depiction of Asian dragons comes from Chinese mythologies.
Well, the Han Dynasty claimed that he was conceived after his mother dreamt of a dragon. And in the Tang Dynasty was the robes with dragon as a motif for the imperial symbol which later became in the Qing Dynasty. And a lot of them are used, like the Yang Dynasty, the two-horned, five-clawed, the Son of Heaven, stuff like that. So it goes to show you that the dragon itself is actually interesting because it's an emblem for China throughout the years, but it's also of their culture. You know, a lot of times the dragon is so integrated in their culture that, like, coat of arms, flags, and other bearings in government will have these symbols to what the dragon actually was in that culture.
Even having them being either carved onto the buildings, painted onto the buildings, or even as sculptures.
So it's interesting to see how dragons play in a part than the different connotations from the European dragon. In European cultures, the dragon is a fire-breathing creature with aggressive tendencies. The Chinese dragon is a spiritual and cultural symbol that represents prosperity and good luck. Also, it can be used as a rain deity that does harmony and stuff like that.
That it can.
And there's a reason why the 2008 Summer Olympics mascot is the term Descendants of the Dragon as like a sign of ethnic identity. It's part of the trend starting in the 1970s. Looking for animal symbols as representation.
That was a Vietnam legend.
Yes.
A Vietnamese legend, I'm afraid. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But different parts of Asia would adapt different parts of animal for representation, and dragon was really symbolic in Chinese. So that's kind of what the Chinese dragon is as a symbol, and the state uses stuff like that. But the actual origin is the gods of the dragon. What do you think about that?
Now this, I should be taking notes.
Well, it's the Chinese dragon, a reptile that represents evolution from ancestors and energy. is a, like, dragon motifs that have been found at different historic sites, but the presence within Chinese banks several thousand years of the discovery of a dragon statue back into the 5th millennium BC.
That's one old dragon.
Well, that's the depiction of a dragon on a statue. So the first representation was in a statue form instead of art, which later became the design later.
Perhaps the sculpture was how it started, and then the art is how it would become. It's probably easier to do a painting rather than a sculpture.
Yeah, well,
especially in the 5th century.
A pig dragon. So, do you a quarter up or a snake? The character for dragon in the earliest Chinese writing is a coiled form, as though you do later with, you know, the jade dragon amulet from the Shang period.
Gotta keep that snake design.
I mean, they are all dragon bones. So, the dragon bones, which were dinosaurs, were highly regarded in mystic worship and traditional medicine as well.
They were honored. Yeah. Bow before the mighty dragon to ensure that we have a good season.
Yeah. So it's interesting to see how the origins and the totems for the Chinese dragon evolved to a mythical animal.
It has earned that place. Both any incarnation of the dragon has earned that place.
True. It's kind of interesting because Chinese dragons are like yang. Then you have yin. So yin and yang is a fish that goes round and round, but one is positive, one is negative. And it's very traditional to have yin and yang as two dragons flying in unison as well. And that kind of be a representation from Avatar, where you have two different dragons and they're flying in sequence in that circle.
That was the first thing that came to mind when you said yin and yang were two fish. I'm like, that was an Avatar. And they also had dragons in it too. One was red, and I think the other one was either blue or purple. Was that the flames?
It was blue.
Okay, it was blue.
The purple was the flames.
They used a more Chinese design for Avatar.
But just because, well, yin and yang is one of those things, it's in a circle. So the dragon of circle is more as symbolic as a fish in circle swimming. So it's a similar movie.
Yes.
So it really depends on the preference of what the dragon is. You know, some have the antlers of a deer, the head of a crocodile, a demon's eyes, the neck of a snake, you know, a hawk claw, all this stuff. So it really depends on what is the depiction and how it rules and are depicted. What did you find about Chinese dragons to be really?
They're respected to the point that even modern day, they still keep in mind dragons. I found out that some Chinese buildings that are tall enough actually have square shaped centers inside them, so that way dragons could still travel through the buildings to get to their river, get to a lake, get to the ocean. So the Chinese dragons are still very much respected, and they do keep them in mind even in the modern day.
True. And that's why a lot of times rivers and weather was very strongly associated with dragon, is because dragons with water are popular in religion. They're the rulers of moving bodies, waterfalls, whether it's seas. The dragon god is the dispenser of rain, as also a xenomorphic representation of yang, the power of generation. So when you start a new generation, when you think of rain being the spiritual environment of that, comes a question how the dragon in Chinese folk.
Most depict the dragons while hiding sometimes in bodies of water. It's why I think China has a very strict law against littering in bodies of water for that very reason.
Yeah.
Like if people in the past wanted it to rain or needed rain real quickly, they would toss garbage into rivers to awaken the dragon. And thus make them be angry. They start going around. They cause drain. They get what the humans get what they want, and the dragon has to go clean up the mess.
True. And, you know, the four major dragon kings each represent the four seas. The East Sea, the South Sea, which is, you know, we have the different, like, the East China Sea, the South China Sea, the West Sea, which is the Qinghai Lake and beyond, North Sea, which is the Lake Baikal. So, the four kings are the water dragons and rain and water, protecting the four seas, as we see it. So, great bodies of water that influence Chinese history. What do you take from that?
Very intriguing.
Whether the symbolism of how water plays a part, or how dragon was associated with water as an extent to the Yang generation.
I love how it's the opposite of how Europeans depicted the dragon. Dragon breathe fire. In Asia, it's dragon breathe water.
Well, it doesn't have to be drink. Traditionally, it can still... It's mostly flame clouds, and also they can breathe fire, too, but...
Well, clouds technically are a vaporized version of water, so... Regardless...
True. You know, in some coastal areas like China, Korea, and traditional regions... There's also whale gods, or the gods of the people of the sea, is also referred to dragon kings after the arrival of Buddhas. So, now we have whale kings, giant creatures, and now dragon.
If I wanted to make a god about water, I probably would pick a whale first before I pick a dragon.
A giant whale resemble a dragon, like a sea serpent?
Yeah, depends on the species of whale.
True, but if you saw a large body, didn't know where it was.
You probably would have thought it was like an ancient creature. So, and the fact that we don't, on rare occasions, you won't see the full body of the whale surface. You'll just see it like pop its blowhole out to breathe and then dive back down in the water. Only very rarely would it want to try to jump out of the water like a dolphin does.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a different depiction of how the dragons are named, but in general sense, it was the first legendary ruler, the Yellow Emperor, immobilized into a dragon that resembled his emblem. So this is the symbol of imperial authority, the Yellow Dragon. So
Yes. You
can see how royal authority made in dragons was still put us descended from the dragon as a sum of power.
Yes.
Because in modern practice, the worship of the dragon god is throughout China, sacrifices and possessions, fifth and sixth moon, on the day of the birthday, the 13th day of the sixth moon.
Sixth moon. Does that mean like the sixth month? Or what? Does that mean the sixth month or the sixth moon phase?
The fifth and the sixth moon phase.
Gotta remember which one is the fifth and the sixth moon phase. Does that mean like the full the fifth and the sixth full moon?
Yeah.
So that would mean about
the full moon holds the most power and it's the most symbolic for us. So
about every 5 to 2.
Yeah,
5 to 6 months.
So then you know there's also Neolithic depictions and there's different other like the classical era began to like myths and legends. You know, Taizong, Shizong. Balong, which is another dragon. The Azure Dragon. Azulong, and other versions. So.
But Azul sounds very similar to Azula.
Dragon Princess.
Okay, yeah, that nickname is now making a lot more sense. Tell me that dragon had blue, had something that was associated with the color blue. I'd love to find at least one exclamation for her blue flames.
Blue flames are lightning.
Works for me.
So, yeah. But yeah, that's a little bit of the Chinese dragon. Let's go on to the next one, was the Japanese. So, the counterpart of legendary creatures, mythology, and folklore. The Japanese dragon myths are native legends from stories about dragons from China, Korea, and the Indian subcontinent. The style and appearance of the dragon was heavily influenced by the Chinese dragon. So, especially the three claws from Japan or from China in the ancient times. And then, other East Asian dragons, most ones were water deities or kami. Mm-hmm. So again, waterfall is very symbolic in Japan. Dragons are also depicted as that.
Including the
of water.
That I'm about to say, I got one that says Buddhist monks would have ceremonies to persuade the Dragon King to bring rain.
Hmm.
So I guess no matter which country, China, Japanese, the dragon brings the rain.
Well, the dragon brings the rain, but also at the same time, you have to remember that during this time, the major impact is water itself. The South China Sea, the East China Sea, and then also the entire archipelago of Japan is surrounded by water. So water is a very powerful source as a main source of livelihood and how to live.
What the depiction of dragons would be for the tsunamis and cyclones that they get often. Because I know Japan has its fair share of both.
Yeah.
Wonder what they would think of with the idea that dragons are associated with water.
Yeah.
Would they think, we angered the dragon, we must figure out what we did wrong and try not to do it again.
True. And technically, at 680 AD is where stories of indigenous dragons come from. In the oldest annals, the dragons are mentioned in various ways, but mostly as water gods, serpent, or dragon shape. And then they mentioned several ancient dragons. Like, for example, Urochi, the eight-branched giant snake, is very famous as a eight-headed dragon. So, you know, that plays a lot into that. Do you remember Orochi?
Orochi. Yeah, I'm going to guess from an anime.
Yeah, like Orochimaru.
Oh, great. Am I going to get called out for not immediately knowing this dragon?
It's a very famous dragon. Orochi has several variations throughout its existence. And Orochimaru from Naruto is just one embodiment of that as an example of cultural influence outside of the general text.
I gotta go watch all how many seasons of Naruto to go find the dragon.
Well, Orochimaru is a character who summons snake.
I'm gonna go look it up afterwards.
It's the eight-headed dragon, eight-headed tailed, slain by the god of wind in sea tsunami. So,
god of wind?
Yes, but Susanoo. The same thing that Sasuke uses when he summons his giant statue that fights as an avatar that he can summon with his Sharingan, Mangekyo Sharingan, to defeat Orochi.
I definitely might be looking up this series at some time in my future.
Susanoo, what in the anime and Naruto that they use to fight, is the final form of their max power, is a big avatar, and they are at the center of it, controlling it through chakra.
I can kind of see the mental image. I can't see the character, but I can see the image.
Oh, I know. I mean, also, my lord, Bag of Rice, we have Ruho, the Dragon King, asked the hero to kill a giant centipede.
Surprised I haven't seen anything based. I'm surprised I haven't seen that many dragons that were based off a centipede of all things. I think it'd be kind of perfect for
dragons are also animal hybrids too, so the depiction of a dragon can be taken multiple forms.
Thank you for the idea. I'm gonna put a pin in it for later.
So, but we get to the Sino-Japanese, which are the Chinese dragons, to be the source of Japanese dragon mythology. The word dragon is kanji for, you know, as simple as traditional, like Chinese long. And can be read as tasu, which is basically waiho or waiyu. And then central Japan is oyami. So
a lot of waiyus.
Yeah. And then also Japanese names for dragons are long words from Chinese. So go figure. Like, Qinglong is the Azure Dragon. The Suzaku is the Vermilion Bird. Bakio, which is the White Tiger. And then Jimbu is the Black Tortoise.
A White Tiger?
Yes. So that's what Bakio comes in a lot of Japanese culture, is the White Tiger being a deity. And Azure Dragon, the Vermilion Bird, the Black Tortoise as well. Then you get into the four dragon emperors, the four dragon kings, Goku, Goku, Goken. Goku is the east, Goken is the south, Gohan is the west, and then Gohan as well, which is all the Shuhan is the king of the north.
I was about to say, unless I misheard one of those names. One of those names sounded familiar.
Goku?
I thought one of them was Goku. Did I mishear that?
Goku is also influenced on Japanese naming as well.
Did we name a very powerful anime character after a dragon god?
So the Waihu and the Waiho are basically long dragons with the knuckle claws on the feet. Japan, the dragon, is invariably figured as possessing three claws, while in China has four or five, but one is an ordinary or an imperial symbol. So they also have different depictions. And also three claws were revived in the Qing Dynasty, World War II, military for Japanese, used armaments after Chinese dragons, and had different, the cosmic, the spirit dragon, the dragon division, which was the 56th division. So it just depends. So that's the Sino Japanese, and then you get to the Endo Japanese dragon. So this is from the influence of India and stuff. Buddhist monks, parts of Asia, parts of Japan. Japan likes to borrow culture from its neighbors and other outskirts. So once you say that Japanese is stealing, they like to take a lot of culture and adapt. They've been doing this for a lot of time.
They've been doing it for not just decades, they've been doing it for possibly centuries.
Yes.
They've been doing it for longer than America has been doing it.
Oh yeah. Another example of a rain deity is the Naga. Very famous in Japanese lore.
Naga.
That's one of the and then the the Snake King is the Dragon King. So there's like different other versions of it as well. So
the more you know.
Well yeah. It's interesting how the Buddhist dragons are more like the symbol to be satra and belief, and the Indian tales that came to Japan from China.
Who would have thought?
We also get a dragon temple too.
Of course we do.
Well, there's dragon temples. I mean, of course. Yeah, the Gogen Temple in, Kagawa, and then the Shrine of Mohoku. And then he has a Zen priest who is the nine-headed dragon transformed into the goddess Kaon. Lake Sadiko Dragon Shrine at Yamaoshi has an annual festival as well. So dragons are very important. And they have lots of influence as well.
There's no place that hasn't been touched by at least one dragon.
Yes. Shinto shrines are also very important. With dragon statues at some Buddhist temples. So there you go, dragon statue.
More dragon statues. I should be looking these up. These could be reference images just waiting to be used.
Oh yeah, because then you get into like the Raijin Shinko, which is a dragon god face, which is the belief that dragons as water kami, connected with the agricultural ritual rain prayers and the success of fish. So again, the seasons, praying for rain, paying for a load for fishermen to have a nice hunt.
Just go right to the dragon if you need something.
Yes, so
let me know how that goes for you.
Actually, in this case, pretty good.
Really? Really good. I'm surprised America doesn't have someone to fall back. Doesn't have that trick either.
What?
Begging a dragon to help us. And again, we do have Satan can be depicted as a dragon in the Bible.
Well, of course, there's a representation of a dragon in the Bible. It's actually not by a giant beast that's kind of similar to a dragon.
Would probably be similar to a dragon. Possibly not the same species, but similar.
And that's definitely a major depiction as a dragon.
Just like how the Bible mentioned a unicorn too? But we'll save that for another day.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So, well, yeah, some things about the history of Asian dragons, especially in Japan and China, but also, like, it's kind of interesting to see how dragons play out as these protectors of water.
Protectors of rivers, of lakes, of seas, possibly oceans.
Yeah, but it also goes to show you that different dragons also have different roles to play.
Yeah.
What is your favorite role about dragons?
Probably the Kieran that I got to re-research for this topic.
Okay, elaborate.
It's a horse-dragon hybrid from Chinese mythology, and it is said to bow to those who are righteous and worthy. Essentially, they would be the best people. They would be the best ones to go to pet god your next emperor. So they are well. So just like other dragons, they're well respected. They just have a different form, resembling more of a horse than a dragon.
True. So we talked a little bit about East Asia. Let's go into West Asia real quick. West Asia is definitely different with its dragon stories.
Where do we begin?
Mesopotamia has a lot of, in the East, dragons. So, references to dragons is both benevolent and malevolent. Throughout Mesopotamian literature, we had the Sumerian poetry, the great kings, once again, kings, compared to a gigantic serpentine monster, where a draconic creature, the forepart of a lion, and the hind legs, tail, and wings of a bird in Mesopotamian artwork from the Akkadian period. So now I only have dragon in the traditional sense, like Japan, China. But when you actually look at different other versions of West Asia, it's like a chimera all in one.
Would you argue it's like a hydra?
Yeah. A body and the body and the neck of a snake, the four legs of a lion, and the hind legs of a...
I hear legs of a lion and also the hind legs of a bird. I'm like, okay, are you describing a dragon or are you describing a griffin?
I'm describing a chimera. A hydra is the eight-headed dragon in Greek mythology.
That also could... I'll say the legs of a lion and the legs of a bird also qualifies a griffin.
Yes.
Although it has more parts. It has the top of a lion and the half lion, half bird.
Yes. But chimera is a specific hybrid form of a dragon in Mesopotamian culture. So, you know, with this, the dragon is usually shown with the mouth open. It's known as the roaring weather beast.
Now, that actually fiction.
Has been associated with the god Ashur, which is Hanhad. So now we have a different depiction of a god with the roaring water beast. Weather beast. So, again, wars of the sky, weather, rain, all playing into one.
There's the Asian. There's the Asian depictions.
Yes. So then we also have other creatures with horns, body and neck of a snake in Mesopotamia. Until the Hellenistic period, this creature is the ferocious serpent, which is Mushibasu, a symbol for particular deities and a general protective emblem, and the underworld god Nisazu. But then it became attendant to the Hurrian storm god, Tespak. And then Nisaku's son, and then the Babylonian national gold, Marduk. And then the scriptural god, Nabu. And Nabu is very interesting because Nabu has actually been ancient before. So, you know, god of literacy, rational arts, and scribes. So that's kind of an interesting connection. But anyway, so that's some of Mesopotamia with their... animal
interesting
hybrid,
creation
chimera,
dragons.
Dragon. But this is also West Asia. So this is more of depictions in where dragon could have originated in the Eastern, well, in Europe as well. So this area is probably where they took their inspiration and made dragons.
You could argue that some elements from the Asian dragon and some elements from the European dragons came from Mesopotamia before they went to their respective areas.
Yes.
After all, they did trade, and I would assume that us knowing about these dragons mean that they had to have been depicted on something. possibly depicted on some of the stone tablets that archaeologists might have found in some archaeology sites.
Yes. And we also have the Levant, which is the Bako circle from the sea dragon, Batayu. The twisting serpent, the powerful one with seven heads. Again, multiple dragons have multiple heads. So,
I think that was seven. Dang it, not a hydra.
Well, the Batayu is slain by the storm god Baal, who is instead slain by the virgin warrior goddess Anat. So, in the Hebrew Bible, the Book of Psalms, Psalm 74, 13-14, the sea dragon, the Leviathan, is slain by Yahweh, the God of the kingdoms of Israel and Judah, as part of the creation of the world. Yahweh's destruction of the Leviathan is foretold as part of the impending overhaul of the universal order. So the Leviathan is destruction in what day the Lord would take his sharp, great, mighty sword and bring judgment on the Leviathan, the fleeing serpent. Leviathan, the crawling serpent, and you will slay the dragon of the sea.
Down goes the beast.
So, Levant and Leviathan are actually very connected.
Yeah, good to know. I got the dragon part with the Leviathan, mentioning the Leviathan earlier.
Yes. So, it's so powerful that only Yahweh can overcome. States of the Leviathan accepts fire and smoke, making it identify as a mythical dragon clearly apparent. By this, historized as the symbol for the nations that stand against Yahweh. So Rahab is a symbol for Leviathan is used in several biblical passages in Egypt. And basically, I reckon in Barat as those that know me in the Pharaoh. So it's like this, basically the story of Bane the dragon in the book of Daniel. The prophet Daniel sees a dragon being worshipped by the Barathelonians. And then Daniel makes clutch of pitch, fat, and hair. The dragon eats them, bursts open.
I don't remember. So, I don't remember that in VeggieTales. I would have paid good money to see what a dragon looked like in that art style.
Well, Yahweh is, you know, the actual true name. But interesting to see that Leviathan had to be slain by only Yahweh. So,
only one can defeat the dragon. It's like, yes. Only one is chosen to defeat the dragon. That must be where the Western depiction of dragons came from. They can only be slain by a knight that is a worthy knight or prince.
Yes. And then we get into the ancient and post-classical with Iran and Persia. A dragon on which we have the Azu-Dahaka, a vasing great snake. Dragon of demonic figures and texts of Zoroastrian Persia, who is one of the subordinates of Demayu. Alternate name includes Azu-Dahak, Dahaka, and Dahak. Azul, which is the word for serpent or dragon. And then Avestan is Middle Eastern and sources for the middle passage of Dragon of Greed. Oz, an old American mythological figure, Azdak.
I heard demon. These dragons must have been feared.
Yes.
Ah, good. These dragons are like their Western counterparts. Must be feared.
Yes. And then the Azadakin group of pterosaurs are known as a Persian word for dragon from the word Azadaka. So, pterosaurs is kind of where dinosaurs are coming into.
I was about to say, sounds like a dinosaur.
Yes.
Imagine that is. Oh, I could take advantage of that. I save that name for later.
So, and then you have Azor-Dahaka in a nutshell. It's kind of weird. But, you know, we actually have the literature text, which also states that in Zoroastrian literature, the most significant and long-lasting of the Azus is Avesta. The earliest religious text, he is described as a monster with three mouths, six eyes, three heads, as being cunning, strong, and demonic. Human qualities is never a real animal and is possessed of all possible sins and evil. Consoles the opposite of the good king, Jom, and the name is interpreted as the meaning having 10 sins. So the dragon that symbolizes the sensual soul, greed, and lust that need to be mortified in a spiritual battle.
I can understand lust.
So, Western civilization dragons are interesting in that aspect, for they appear as more animal, or they appear coming from a demonic nature of a human turning into a beast.
A were-dragon. Why is that not popular? Sounds like a cool... Sounds like it could be an interesting idea.
I don't
idea.
Think it's a were-dragon. I don't think they can just turn at will at any different time. I think that the human was an evil deity over time became a dragon. So.
Would it be similar to a Wendigoon in Native American mythologies?
Could be, but...
I think I gotta give context.
Also revolts back to human. The usually the deities that humans became gods to dragons, just stayed in that. Look at fairy tale, how the dragon slayer became the dragon himself.
Ironic.
So that kind of thing.
Sounds similar to a Wendigoon. I think you're forced to turn into a Wendigoon if you become... It's because you become a cannibal or you choose to willingly eat human. It's like, oh, you're turning into a monster because you ate your fellow kin.
Yeah. So that's West Asia. We did East Asia. And the last bit is South Asia.
To Korea.
India, actually.
I mean, it did came from Buddhists, and Buddhists came from India, so I'm guessing some dragon legends must reside there as well.
Yes. Rig Veda is the tale of the four Vedas, the Indra, the Vedic god of storms, battles Vitra, a giant serpent who represents drought, again, weather. Indra Vatra, using his Vatra thunderbolt, and clears the path for rain, the form of cattle. You won the cows, hero. You won the Soma. You freed the seven steams to flow. In another Rig Vedic legend, the three-headed serpent Visvarupa, the son of God, a wealth of cows and horses. A god named Trina Apita, who fights and kills him and settles the cattle free, cuts off their heads, and drives the cattle home for Trita. Well, then we have younger Avista. So Avista comes back again. Just saying. So Avista with Hindu representations in Persia and all that. India also plays a big part.
I was about to say, the first story sounded a little familiar with a dragon of storms going up against a dragon of drought.
Yes.
Okay, I think Pokemon took ideas.
Yes, and in the Bhutan, or the Druk, is the thunder dragon. In the language, Bhutan is known as the Druk Yu, the Lan of Druk, and the thunder dragon kings. The Druk was adapted as the emblem by the lineage, which adapted into Tibet and later spread to Bhutan. So that's South Asia. Then we get into Southeast Asia.
Now we go to Vietnam.
Mythical creature in Vietnamese is often as a deity, symbol, and associated with royalty. So, power, lineage, common themes throughout Asia through its dragons and mythos.
It's got to have a connection to weather or a connection to royalty. Take your pick. You can pick both if you'd like.
Well, the dragons in Vietnamese culture represents yang. So again, generation. But these are also with godly beings with creation and life. So now, it's actually in the creation myth of the Vietnamese people. They're descended from the dragon lord Loc Long Quan and the fairy Ach Ayu Ko, born 100 eggs. They were separated. Long, long Quan brought 50 children to the sea, while Wap Ko brought the rest up to the mountain. To this day, Vietnamese people describe themselves as children of the god, children of the dragon, grandchildren of the fairy. So, dragon meets fairy, and there you go.
There goes the great Bulk. Come on, flashbacks.
Why? What? Fairy beats dragon?
And dragon can't hurt. And dragon can't hurt fairy.
Exactly. Dragon. Isn't dragon had no effect on fairy?
It's the same as if you try to hit have an electric type move, hit a ground type.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's no
ground hit or ground, or you try to use earthquake on a fire.
It's the relationship between ground, electric, fairy to dragon.
Yes.
Ground is super effective, electric doesn't affect ground. Fairy is super effective against dragon. Dragon has no effect on fairy. Gotcha.
Yes. Hey, you are welcome.
Yeah. And then Korea has an interesting Korea story. You want to do a little bit about Korea?
Let's have a little fun. We'll venture over to Korea for a split second.
Yes.
A long low mountain in the shape of a blue dragon lies to the east of an old city center of Seoul, South Korea. The highest one, called the White Tiger, stands to the west. The Korean capital was found some 600 years ago below these
peaks.
White
Tiger.
Again with the White Tiger.
Fico. See, yeah. There's a lot of common shale religion.
It looks like Japan took notes from not only China, they took notes from Korea, too. What else did they get from those Korean wars?
Well, European mythos is linked to elements of fire destruction. Dragons in Korean mythos are primarily development beings related to water and
everything. I got one for South Korea. Does it say anything on North Korea, or did they just put the two together?
It just them together.
Now, it would have been actually interesting if there was a North Korean variant with the rain.
Korean dragons are said to have resided in rivers, lakes, oceans, or even deep mountain ponds.
Of course. Gotta rain and water. Those. I had a nickel for every time we heard that throughout this entire recording.
So, ancient texts of one particular legend speaks of the great king Manu, who on his deathbed wished to become a dragon of the East Sea in order to protect Korea. So he became a dragon to protect sea. The Korean dragon is very similar to its counterparts in East dragons and Chinese and Japanese, but it has a longer beard than the Chinese dragon.
Longer beard.
Yes.
That is apparently very important.
Yes, very much so. Number 9 is significant and ambitious in Korea. Dragons were said to have 81 9x9 scales on their backs, representing the yang essence.
9x9.
A dragon may be depicted as carrying a giant orb known as the Yinyuku, the Korean name for the mythical Tsutamiya, the claws on its mouth. You wield the Yumaku, blessed with the abilities of omnipotence and creation at will, and only 4-toed dragons, who had thumbs, could hold the orbs, both wise and powerful to wield those orbs, as opposed to the lesser 3-toed dragons. You know, it reminds me of a soul dude with Latios and Latios.
I was Latios and Latios. I was thinking that too. If either of them holds the soul dude, it boosts their I think it's special attack and special defense.
Yes.
It's gotta be helping.
Opportunists and creation. So they also had it.
Good. I see Pokemon took notes from Japan, who took notes from everyone else.
Yes. Then we get into like the Enryugi. The Enryugi of the lesser dragons are said to be resemble gigantic serpents. You have what could be a true dragon or Yon or Mui. If caught, a Yus who had been fallen from heaven, states that only harmless creatures resembling dragons who could have been cursed, but were unable to become dragons. And Mugi is a proto-dragon that must serve 1,000 years in order to become a fully-fledged dragon. In either case, they're said to be large, benevolent, python-like creatures that live in watering caves and are sighting to associate with good luck. So, that's why a Mugi is so associated with good luck.
Wish you the best of luck. I didn't know a dragon could wish me good luck. I thought my knocking on wood was effective.
But that's some about the Korean dragons. And you still have the Azure dragon of the tomb. And so they still have some influence. But the main takeaway, Asian studies, dragons, and mythos, and mythology, is basically the yang for generation, creation, or something anew, but also associated with rain, the weather, and the clouds in the sky, and water mass.
Oftentimes depicted with royalty, too.
Yes, and kings. So the dragons are the rulers, the guardians, the protectors, and the blessers at the same time. What's your takeaway on the dragons thus far?
They are incredible creatures. They're incredible pieces of mythology, and also give you a look into how people in the past viewed stuff like weather, royalty, even the concept of sin, seeing it in different depictions. Rather, even though it's all very similar. Also, Japan loves stealing.
They like to take in a culture and adapt it for them.
Yep.
They've been doing that for a long time.
Very, very long time.
Why do you think we have McDonald's in anime?
Well,
not McDonald's. Whack-Donald's.
We did that for 1 month. We did that for 1 month with an anime sauce, too.
Yes.
A lot of shows represent that name. But, so where does this change your belief on dragons as a core concept?
Thinking that only one kind of dragon existed in Asia. Now I know there's a dozen dragons that could have existed in Asia, and now I have ideas that I can use.
Well, yeah. Well, the design is basically based on a number of claws. 5 instead of 3. Japan having 3. China having 5. And then the snake-like creature. And then the Mesopotamia...
It's a hybrid.
Chimera. The Chimera dragon. Which is actually a class of dragon.
Look it up.
So, what are you going to take away from dragons as a whole?
Well, no matter which country you take your dragons from, they're going to be remembered for a while, especially with how mythologies affect even the modern day people. Looking at you, China, making your buildings with holes in it so they can keep going to the sea.
True. Here's another great dragon for you. Spirited Away.
I think I've seen that dragon. I think my older sister my older sister got inspiration from that dragon. It was a white dragon.
White and blue.
White and blue, yep. She was inspired by that dragon.
As a river spirit, unclean, got cleaned, and now...
another river. Another one associated with the river. There's just so many of them out there.
So, mind you, water is very important. And apparently, dragon is just so symbolic.
Makes me wonder how did the Europeans get fire breathing from dragons?
Well, there is some fire breathing associations, but the thing is, shiny Asian dragons still breathe fire. They're often depicted as breathing fire. It's just they're protecting or hiding in body of water as a means to be undetected. Water represents the unknown. Dragons are the best unknown in Asia.
The best thing to come from Asia.
I don't know if it's the best thing.
Well,
it's definitely very intriguing.
And definitely with how many variants it are, then there certainly can inspire many other people to make their own dragons based off these amazing legends.
True.
As we said earlier with the Pokemon comparisons.
So, you gonna be an OC with a dragon now?
I already have a Kirin, so why not? I'm going to go experiment with some of these dragons.
Which dragon? All the claws, the 3 claws, the Chimera.
I need to experiment with the Chimera. I need to try 3 claws. I haven't drawn any dragons with 3 claws yet. I've done 4 and 5. I need to do a 3.
Yeah. Okay. That'd be interesting. So before we go, where they can find you and what you do?
Well, I'll probably be posting this art. It'll probably be on my Twitter, which is shapeshift16, uppercase the first S. Might also catch it on Tumblr, too, same as my Twitter. And who knows if I post it on Discord.
Gotcha.
Well, there you have it. That concludes this episode of Asian Studies, Dragons, and Mythology. Special thank you for being here. Lots of fun having you.
Thank you for inviting me.
This is the conclusion of this episode. Bye, guys.
This concludes another episode of MC Anime Podcast. MC Anime Podcast is available on podcast directories like Google Podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. We also have our website at mcanimepodcast.com. If you want to directly support us, then follow Patreon blog MC Anime. Finally, if you want services for hire, then we're available on Fiverr for audio and video production, graphic design, idea consulting, and blog and article writing.